faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
Democrats like to tell us that no one is above the law, but they're busy building a world where they are. Hundreds of illegal checkpoints set up in Minneapolis. Hundreds of assaults against ICE agents. Videos all over X of assaults against people believed to be Trump supporters. How many charges filed against liberal protesters by Hennepin County? That's where Minneapolis is. None. Headline, Minneapolis filed no county charges amid weeks of anti-ICE unrest. In fact, the Hennepin County attorney, Democrat Mary Moriarty, made it clear she stands with the violent protesters, breaking the law at a felony level, assaulting not just ICE, but occasionally even Minneapolis police officers. Here's what she tweeted. I had the chance to talk to Lawrence O'Donnell last night about Homan's attempt to extort Minnesotans by saying the occupation will end if resistance ends. If Minnesotans give up their First Amendment right to protest and capitulate to DHS's mission, maybe they will leave. No charges for violent assault after violent assault. Folks, this is astonishing. The Washington Examiner obtained charging data from Hennepin County and the city of Minneapolis. So far, the county attorney's office has gotten just 21 referrals for prosecution from the police. The only charges were for low-level misdemeanors, which can be charged directly by law enforcement. There was just 9 of those. The last charge of any kind filed was on December 26, after a violent protester chased an off-duty ICE agent in his car. Can you see what's happening here, folks? Slowly but surely, Democrats are becoming legally untouchable. If you watched your TV or went through at your X feed in awe, watching violent incident after violent incident, if you wondered, how the heck did Alex Pretty think he could just walk up to an ICE agent's vehicle, spit at it, and break the lights off the back? Because in the past, they can. Stunning new report from Just the News last week. The news website run by former Hill investigative reporter John Solomon. After the summer of love, 90% of the cases filed against violent liberal protesters for the $2 billion, that's according to the insurance industry estimates, what they paid out, $2 billion in damages, 34 homicides, multiple assaults, countless felonies, 90% of the cases were dropped. Take Houston, for example, where demonstrators blocked a federal highway, threw objects at police officers, damaged buildings, and sent 8 officers to the hospital, 2 of whom were seriously injured. 93% of all charges brought against violent left-wing protesters were dropped. In Philadelphia, where protesters smashed windows, looted stores, and set fire to police cars, 95% of the arrests resulted in no prosecution or drop charges. But what about when we throw down? When we get upset? Think the rowdy demonstration. I wouldn't call it a riot, given what we've seen in Minneapolis. It just doesn't measure up. The rowdy demonstration on January 6th. You know the one, where more than 1,500 individuals were arrested, many for just entering the building and taking selfies. They did nothing violent. How'd that work? 1,270 of them were convicted. That's an 86% conviction rate. Folks, there is a dual justice system. And if you look at what happened with the Summer of Love, what the left does, they charge them, or at least they have in the past. And then later, when no one's looking, they quietly drop the cases. Although in Minneapolis, it seems they're largely skipping the charging part now. Meaning in their cities, in their states, they can do damn near anything they please. And as the violent attacks on ICE agents and the riots got started, it was as if the activists knew it. Enter Dylan Bryan Adams. Back in April of 2025, he made national news because he got into keying Teslas. And I mean really digging in, not just a little scratch. He did between $20,000 and $21,000 worth of damage to 6 Teslas. Then was even caught on video doing it. Enter Hennepin County Attorney Mary Moriarty again. She declined the charges, placing him in a diversion program where he paid restitution, not $20,000. He's a liberal, which is about $1,200, and avoided a criminal record. Well, is Adams still in his job? You bet he is. Adams works as a, hold on, folks, wait for it. Adams works as a financial policy compliance lead at Minnesota's Department of Human Services, overseeing, wait for it, Medicaid fraud. Wait, Medicaid fraud? Wasn't half the Medicaid spending in Minnesota stolen? Uh-huh. Wait. Isn't that the division that oversees the Somali Medicaid fraud? That's the one. He's still on the job. Employed. Okay, but those are the county charges. How are they going to get their violent liberal friends out of the federal charges Donald Trump's DOJ has brought against them? Oh, wait till you hear this. But first, if you've listened to me for a long time, you know, since the summer of love, I've been telling you it would end up exactly like I'm describing in this podcast. And the way I know that is that I'm obsessed with the Russian Revolution, the one that led to the creation of the USSR. There's a reason the lefties who write history books do not include it in history lessons, or you might see that it's happening right now in America, exactly as it did in the USSR or Russia before it became the Soviet Union. I believe that the Democrats have deliberately picked this playbook because Russia, like America, at the time of the Marxist Revolution, and only about 21% of the population of Russia were actually Marxist. Russia at the time was not only a heavily armed, gun-owning nation, it was stacked to the gills with veterans who knew how to use those guns and easily could have defeated the Marxist, who they would have overwhelmed on the battlefield. They needed another way to take the country. And so for 20 years, you had the lead up to the revolution. It really was a 20-year haul. How'd they do it? Torture in your backyard. Cross the Marxists, criticize them, and they'd show up with their torture squads, who became famous. Ironically, folks, the most famous, most brutal pre-Russian Revolution torturers were women, white women, enraged Marxist white women. Sound familiar? But I'm getting ahead of myself. It didn't start that way. It started with a campaign remarkably like Black Lives Matter. Police were not popular then. They were seen as sort of the arm of a government that was too intrusive. Nowhere as intrusive as Stalin would eventually be, or the communists, but they didn't know what they were up against. So it became popular to attack officers, push them, shove them, spit on them. That eventually escalated to throwing acid in officers' faces. And the activist groups that were doing it, they were Marxist, had groups like Black Lives Matter you could donate to. Anyway, it became very fashionable to hate the police. Sound familiar? But like the left often does, the Marxists quickly went too far and found themselves before juries. What to do? First, they got good at jury nullification. After a while, they'd just send their torture squads to your house at night if you voted the wrong way on the jury. Ditto for if you were the judge. By the end of their campaign of terror, nobody would speak out against them publicly. No one would convict them. I'd say we're pretty much already there in Minnesota. It's just the killing hasn't started yet. Democrats know their sheeple won't do that. Unless they feel safe, they won't spend the rest of their life in prison. But again, I'm getting ahead of myself. They're not there yet, but they're working on it. You probably heard about the case of the liberal lunatic protester who assaulted that ICE agent and bit off his finger. That person, Claire Louise Fang, who's actually a dude who goes by Claire, bit off the tip of a U.S. Border Patrol agent's finger during a struggle in Minneapolis. The county could have charged him, her, but didn't. Surprised? No, they're all Democrats. They're good with it. So Claire Louise Fang was charged federally. And where exactly will this federal trial be taking place by the Donald Trump Justice Department? Unfortunately, Minneapolis, a post-American territory without a recognizably American justice system. And the left, they take care of their own. They've got a plan to get Claire, Louise Fang, or whatever he's calling himself this week, off on the charges. Nick Cruz is a former Democrat official with the Minnesota Young Democrat Farmer Labor Party, and he's currently the at-large director of Stonewall DFL, which is one of the groups that's been organizing the riots on the Signal chats. He's currently organizing a nullification training for potential jurors. They're videotaping it so they can put it out online. He's also been putting out instructions on X and other messaging platforms for how to get on a jury by pretending that you don't know anything about the issue involved. The specific aim is to get Claire Louise Fang out of the charges of biting off that agent's finger by nullifying the jury, i.e. getting onto the jury and then voting no, even though you know that Claire Louise Fang broke the law. It's called jury nullification. And it's a legal concept where, okay, you know the person broke the law, but maybe you don't like the law. I'm sorry, I like the law against liberal lunatics biting off body parts. I kind of think we need that law. In fact, Cruz and other Democrats formed a group called Defend 612 to support resistance to the ICE occupation in Minneapolis. Defend 612 is having jury nullification training. They've been messaging, advertising, if you will, to the people of Minneapolis to be part of the People's Pardon or Jury Nullification Project, i.e. try your best to get on a jury as an act of resistance so you can hang it. One event description for one of the trainings frames the effort, quote, because when systems fail to deliver justice, the people must. Other propaganda they've put out as part of their jury nullification push includes, no one should go to prison for defending our city. We should be spreading the word about jury nullification. Remember, try to get on the jury, act neutral. Again, this is right out of the Russian Revolution playbook. This is exactly how they initially got away with throwing acid in cops' faces and assaulting them. Eventually, as they became unprosecutable, they turned to the torture squads, and then in sheer terror, nobody would prosecute them, much less convict them. We're not there yet. When Alpha News wrote about this, they interviewed Doug Wardlow. He's a Twin Cities attorney with more than two decades' experience. He calls what Defend 612 is doing illegal. But who's going to prosecute them? Not the county attorney. And, well, federal charges might be worth trying if it wasn't for the nullification project. Understand what we're talking about here, folks. This is about much more than a fingertip. Do you see what just happened in France? Americans may not realize it, but Antifa is actually more active in Europe than here. In fact, it's spread here from Europe. Well, Antifa got its first kill this weekend. The victim was Quentin Durunk, a 23-year-old mathematics student in Lyon, who was beaten to death for simply being among the anti-immigration protesters called the Nemesis Collective. They were protesting an appearance at the university by Rima Hassan, a member of the left-wing party, LFI. Folks, he died of a brain bleed after he was literally beaten to death in the street by Antifa thugs. The goal is simple, to be able to do that here with no repercussions. It is possible to do it. We saw it during the Russian Revolution. It just took them about 15 years to work up to it, ever so gradually. But folks, it's not just about the ability to kill. Think of all the stories we've heard out of Minneapolis. The multiple invasions of hotels, where hotel lobbies were trashed, including the one where an off-duty police officer and two hotel employees were beaten. The officer was bloodied, and they were only able to hold the mob back by pushing vending machines across the entrance and using it as a blockade. All of that because the left-wing mob had heard a rumor that ICE was staying at the hotel. charges filed locally in that incident, that would be zero. What kind of power does that give you? They can't kill yet. The power to act as police yourself. Remember all the police-style checkpoints they set up, demanding people's IDs, running their license plates through state databases, which, by the way, it's illegal for them to access, but they seem to have access to it anyway. Remember the reports from sheriff's deputies and police officers who were actually told where the violent crowd was and to avoid it? We actually had screenshots of that that went out on X. They would be given instructions, hey, the, you know, violent leftists are over here having their quote unquote protest. It's actually a road blockade. You're to avoid the area. That's why the police not only don't show up, they don't come when you call. Anyway, that leads to this.
According to a new report, anti-ICE groups are planning to build as many as 1,000 of these checkpoints on busy streets and in residential areas. Can you imagine living there? And what is the information they're collecting? Well, they want the license plate. That gives you all sorts of information. This anti-ICE social media account shows a chilling poster in Minneapolis asking workers across many fields to hurt agents in multiple ways, like giving them food poisoning and secretly damaging their vehicles. It assures people you will get away with it. So they know it's a crime.
And they did get away with it. So, folks, combine it this way. You call 911. They're not allowed to respond if you are the wrong people and the right people are the ones committing the crimes. Even if they beat you, block your street, pull your car over, surround it, make threats. If they do attack you, assault you, the police won't answer the 911 call. If they do, there won't be any county charges. And if they do, they'll be quietly dropped later after the summer of love. Folks in blue areas, they literally have a license to do a lot right now. Now, what would happen if the left ever got total power? It may seem impossible. They're not very popular in the polls right now, but it's not. All it takes is one amnesty vote, and we live in a one-party system run by them. What I just described there on the streets in Minnesota is now the way the country is run. Left-wingers, Democrats, can do whatever the hell they want to. Pull you over, demand to see your, I don't know, papers, license, ask you questions, and even force you to pledge allegiance. That's what they've done to a lot of these people in the streets of Minnesota. They will just stop them if they've got a, you know, American flag on their sweatshirt. One man was beaten for that and forced to support the cause. In other words, to give voice to supporting the cause. Can you imagine living in a country where law enforcement works that way? Barack Obama, you'll remember, was trying to build it. He'd already put out a plan for captains, police chiefs, and the upper ranks to be paid by the federal government at local police agencies and also to federalize the 911 system. I was wondering, why do they want to federalize 911? That part was a little puzzling to me. I knew why they wanted to pay the upper brass so they would answer to them. Well, now I know why they want to federalize 911. So that when liberal thugs are the ones beating you and you call for help, nobody will come. Folks, this is why Trump pulling out of Minnesota, even nominally, was a disaster. It's the second time he's let them get away with this. I would argue that the fact that he let him get away with it during the summer of love is what caused these attacks on ICE. And folks, these are a lot of the same activists. If ICE isn't there in Minneapolis in a large presence, they're just going to go pack up and go wherever they are. And it's going to get people killed. We have got to stop this. Now, and folks, I don't know how to do it. Did you see what just happened in D.C.? They tried to indict the six members of Congress, military members all, who were telling other members of the military of lower rank to disobey orders. Folks, they couldn't get a grand jury to indict. Why? Because, folks, once the word spreads, I don't even think you're going to need nullification seminars. The left will just know what to do the way they do in D.C. Already this year, we've seen Judge Jeanine Pirro fail to get even an indictment. Remember the Subway sandwich assault, the big greasy sandwich that a federal agent was hit with? Yeah, can you imagine if you or I, like, say, during the FBI raid of Mar-a-Lago, we got mad because the FBI was being unfair to Trump, so we went down there with a big greasy sandwich and hit an FBI agent in the head with it? Oh my gosh, we'd have done 3 to 5 years, but they're liberals. Yep, and those juries are having 90% Democrat vote rates, about 92% for Kamala Harris. Folks, we can't even get an indictment anymore in D.C. Good gosh, in the fall, remember the woman who admitted she had plans to kill Trump, that she'd actually already made plans to travel and even told Secret Service agents, yeah, I was going to kill him? We couldn't get an indictment in D.C. Question, what do we do about this? Because here's the problem. Our tax dollars still flow into Minneapolis. Folks, do you remember when Dr. Oz went into Minneapolis a few weeks back? Head of the Medicaid Medicare Centers pulls up to this warehouse where there's like $400 million worth of these appear to be fraudulent businesses. And he can't even get to the front door because he's surrounded by violent liberal activists who are spitting and swearing and threatening him. And then he gets followed the rest of the time he's in Minneapolis. He's just there to investigate fraud. He's not even rounding up illegal immigrants. So, question, folks, what happens when we have to send our tax dollars, our federal tax dollars, into places like Minneapolis? 9 out of 10 of the stolen Medicaid dollars, the Somali fraud, are federal. We have to send our money in, but fraud investigators can't follow our money to make sure it's not stolen. I hate to say it, folks, but we either find a way to enforce the law or the country's going to have to break up. Red states are simply going to have to secede from the union to keep from being violently robbed blind by blue states. This is a problem. And pulling out of Minneapolis, I guarantee you, just made it a lot worse.
Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.